I'm going to give you a useful test. For whether it is the person who is following the Torah reading, whether that person is a rabbi or not. This is a test that I devised with Rabbi Schuldenfrei last week. We have not yet marketed it, so please. But here's the test. The person following the Torah reading is a rabbi if they're looking at next week's parsha. Because you see, you've already prepared your talk for this week. And there you are sitting in synagogue. You've already looked at this week's parsha. You've been looking at it all week. What you want to know is, what are you going to say next week? And I want you to know, when I devised this test, it was when last week I was sitting with Rabbi Schuldenfrei. I was looking at this book that I picked up many moons ago in Jerusalem, and I found a passage that gave me my sermon for this week. So here is this week's sermon devised last week. It's based on the verse that says, "V'ish ki lo yiyeh lo goel v'hasiga yado," which is, if a person can't find a redeemer, basically they're in debt and they don't have somebody who can provide them with the necessary funds, but then they raise their hand or they strengthen their hand and they redeem themselves. Here's what struck me. HaTorah mavticha, this is the comment, and then I'm going to tell you who said it. The Torah promises, le'ish she'ein lo goel, somebody who doesn't have a redeemer, she'al yitya'esh v'lo yachshov she'mishum she'ein lo goel, kvar ein lo shum sikuyim lig'ol et nachalato, that because he doesn't have somebody to redeem him, that he has no chance of redemption, what should he do? He should raise his own hand and redeem himself with God's help. Now, this is a very conventional sort of interpretation, although a beautiful one. But what interested me was that the man who offered this interpretation was named the Chatam Sofer. And when I saw that, I knew I had a sermon. And I'll tell you why. This was the great charge against the Zionists. The Zionists said, God didn't redeem us, so we're going to redeem ourselves. And all the traditional rabbis of the time said, you're not allowed to redeem yourself. God has to redeem you. You're not allowed to use military action, political action, because Israel will only be yours at the time of the Messiah. The Chatam Sofer was famous for many things, for being a great and learned rabbi, but especially for one sentence, HaChadash Asur Min HaTorah. Anything new is forbidden by the Torah. If you go into many ultra-Orthodox communities today, you will hear that sentence over and over and over again. HaChadash Asur Min HaTorah. You're not allowed to be an innovator. You can't change anything. And when I read this comment, I thought, you see, you can't help it. It's not because the Chatam Sofer thought he was introducing something new by saying you have to help yourself. It's because in the normal course of life, look around you. For those of us who are adults, there's not a cell in our bodies that was there when we were born. We change. We grow. As Heraclitus, the Greek philosopher, famously said, you cannot step in the same river twice. Because by the time you step in it again, the water has rushed by and it's a different river. Now, don't get me wrong. Everybody here knows that if there are not eternal truths to which the Jewish community holds fast, then we disappear. But if we hold fast to everything, then we fossilize ourselves. And in time, we will disappear. In every generation, we've changed. The rabbis may say that Abraham observed the whole Torah, but there he is serving milk and meat to the angels. Why? Because change is growth, and growth is survival. And I could give you endless examples. Rabbi Kula gave one last night. about the fact that breaking the glass under the chuppah was originally an ancient Persian custom. And we took it back as a Jewish custom. And now, we do it Persians and Jews together. The garb of Hasidim, the long black cloak, this is the dress, as you know, of 18th century Polish noblemen. Polish noblemen no longer dress that way, but we do. And the idea behind this is not at all to condemn those customs, just the opposite. Growth involves absorbing things that are new and sometimes getting rid of things that are old. What you hear in this sanctuary on a Shabbat morning is music. And the instant reaction of someone who is unused to it is you can't play music on Shabbat. But why can't you play music on Shabbat? Because what did they used to do in the temple in ancient times? Play music on Shabbat. If we could transport ourselves back to the temple, we'd hear music. But once the temple was destroyed and there was a period of mourning for the temple, music was outlawed because music is joyous. So in fact, when someone comes in and says, you can't have music on Shabbat, you can say, we're just reclaiming what used to be. And I'll tell you something else we reclaim that used to be. In Lee Levine's massive book on the ancient synagogue, he mentions that in one of the synagogues they excavated on the front row, the seats are named based on who paid for the seats, which, by the way, may be an ancient tradition we'll revive. Who knows? I'm just kidding. Just thinking about it. But, he says, in the front row, in the best seat in the house, there's the name of a woman. Because that was her seat. Because there was no separation yet in the ancient synagogue. It came later. So when someone says, why are you sitting, men and women together, we can say, because we respect tradition. Just a tradition older than your tradition. Now, I bring this up in part just because it's who we are, and it's what we believe, but also because several weeks before I saw that comment, we had Dr. Judith Hauptmann here, and she and I were sitting, and again, I confess, I was playing a little hooky by looking in the Book of Interpretations during the Torah reading. And I read something, and I gave it to her, and I said, this is the saddest and in some ways the most tragic interpretation of the Torah I have ever read. She glanced over it and immediately agreed. The parsha was Vayeshev. And what does Leshev mean? To sit. Bo lilamdenu, this has come to teach us. Sheroeh adam shetzarot ba'ot elav, when someone sees the terrible things are happening to him, al yivakesh etzot v'tachbulot ech livroach. Don't try to figure out how to run away. Just sit. Because hatzar hu rak hester chitzoni. Because all the trouble is just an external garb, but in fact, in the end, there will be redemption. I can't tell you how many rabbis from Eastern Europe told their congregations exactly that in the early 40s. Using these same interpretations, don't change, don't move, don't reject what we have known. Just sit. And I'll tell you the verse that was commonly used. Lo bashamayim hi velo be'eder layam. The Torah is not in the heavens and it's not across the sea. Do you know what the rabbis used to tell their congregations in Eastern Europe? When it says in Deuteronomy the Torah is not across the sea, it's referring to America. There's no Torah in America. So stay here, in Europe. Don't leave, don't move, don't change. Now obviously, that refusal to change had the most tragic consequences in our history. But the idea that Judaism ought to remain forever unchanging is an idea that has no evidence for its existence in Jewish history. The idea existed, just not the reality. The Judaism of Abraham is different from the Judaism of Moses, is different from the Judaism of Rabbi Akiva, is different from the Judaism of Maimonides, is different from the Judaism of today. But that's a good thing. Do you want your children to live exactly your life? I hope not. Because that means that they will never realize the potential of their own souls. And surely, surely you did not wish to live exactly the life of your parents. Rabbi Kula's teaching this weekend has been entirely about holding polarities together. It can be summarized in Oscar Wilde's great line that a deep truth is something the opposite of which is also a deep truth. So it is true, Judaism must be unchanging and it must be eternal, and we must never give up on what we know to be true forever. And it is also true that Judaism must change or die. We believe both of those things. It is new when the cantors get up and intone Birkat Kohanim to the music and the melody that you heard. But Birkat HaKohanim is the oldest fragment of Torah that we still have in any manuscript anywhere in the world. It's thousands of years old, and this morning it was brand new. That is, of course, the teaching of Rav Kook. To preserve what is sacred and to sanctify what is new. That is our aim. Not to lose what we were given and not to lose the opportunity to give. Our creativity, our soul, our music is old and new. Just as is our world and our tradition. And we bless God for everything we have inherited. And we pray that future generations will bless us for everything that we will create. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.